From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests on this week's show are the brains behind the new Bay Area trance duo Dissolve, Liam Shy and Valentin Santana. Liam Shy has been a fixture in the Castro District DJing psytrance parties since he was a teenager. He recently brought in classically trained violinist Valentin Santana for his new Dissolve project, which combines electronic, classical, and tribal elements to create a high-energy, dancey, and engaging combo. Alrighty, let's get to my interview with Liam Shy and Valentin Santana. First, Liam, I'd like to start with you. I understand you got a real early start in music. You've been running sound since you were in your early teens.
That's correct. I actually got my first job sound engineering concerts when I was 14 years old. And I moved to San Francisco when I was 16, and that's when I started my DJ career.
And you got involved with trance and psytrance parties very early on through Tantra Productions, I believe. Was that your first experience with electronic music?
Yeah, I mean, in my very earliest days, I was exposed to things like DJ Shadow and Portishead, more on the sort of trip-hop spectrum. But my very first actual electronic music event was a psytrance party in San Francisco before I even went to a rave or anything like that. And so from my very earliest days in electronic music, psytrance was a big part of my life.
Valentin, you're obviously a very talented violinist. You must have had formal training from a very young age as well, right?
Yes, actually, I've been taking lessons privately and scholastically since the age of 7, playing with and working with private lessons over the summers, being parts of ensembles, music camps, orchestras, and I am still actually taking private lessons as we speak and working on my master's in music.
That's great. Now, how were you introduced to electronic music?
Well, I was introduced in electronic music a few years ago, but my roots have been my whole life classical and acoustic. And for me as a musician, to be an acoustic musician, the electronic music world was very new to me. And when I did get birthed into the electronic music scene, it made so much sense evolutionarily for composition skills and for the violin in itself to be heard as it has been for the last 5 years as the most prominent instrument in history.
Wow, okay. So before this project, did you have any other experience with sort of experimental music or new sorts of ensembles?
Yes, I have been in everything from concertmaster of our school's orchestra to playing with a 9-piece ska band on the East Coast for 3 years. This is my first project with the electronic violin, and it's really exciting to really bring old school roots and classical elements to the new evolved sound of electronic music.
Liam, I want to get back to you for a second. It seems like San Francisco and the sound of the Castro and the entire Bay Area is a big influence on your DJing. How does that transfer over to your original music?
It's definitely a bit different when I DJ and when I produce. When I DJ, I really take it as a job for a DJ that is playing to the crowd, playing to the type of event, you know, and changing what style of music that I play so that it's appropriate for the booking. So as a DJ, I'm very, very diverse. I play house, trance, breaks, dubstep, drum and bass, psytrance, of course, progressive. I mean, really, I'm booked for almost every type of show, and as you mentioned, the Castro, I'm very involved in very, very large street parties. This past weekend, we had Gay Pride and Pink Saturday here in San Francisco, and, I mean, between the two events, I DJed for 10 to 15,000 people, and so, of course, for those types of events, I want to play, you know, all the big sort of hits, at least in psytrance. I try not to go too mainstream. I always try to keep a bit of an underground edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is different. When I produce, it's much more of my own story, of my own sound, and I take it on it's a bit more cerebral for me, and some of the stuff that I do, it's not always intended to be the next big club hit, but it's still very powerful, still very, you know, dance floor friendly, but it's much more unique, and it's much more of a personal reflection rather than, you know, necessarily a DJ show where I might be playing for the specific club or time of night, that kind of thing.
I know you're very involved in the scene there in San Francisco. Are there some major trends that might be slowly seeping out of the city or maybe even be already blowing up around the nation?
Yeah, trends are interesting. In my 10 years of experience actively DJing and, you know, doing events, I have seen so many different styles, so many different sub-styles sort of rise and fall. I mean, when I first started, it was all about new school breaks. Then that sort of developed into dubstep. Meanwhile, psytrance, which was really big in, you know, 2000 to 2003, and of course even earlier, but then that started to slowly die out. And then I've seen, you know, techno, which was not that popular back in the early 2000s, is now much more popular again. And everything sort of like goes in these sine wave cycles. And one thing that I've learned, because it's always tempting to want to chase the latest fad or the latest, you know, musical craze, but I think really the best thing you can do as an artist is really just stick to what you really truly like and love, and eventually it will become popular again. So just wait for it.
Getting back to you, Valentin, how would you describe the music that you create with Liam? I think you might be maybe in a little bit better of a position to describe that coming from a non-electronic music world.
Well, the sound that Liam and I create and strive to create is a very unique blend of symphonic, tribal, and electronic music. Now, to keep that in tail, we are trying to have the elements of the new electronic music combined with the classical symphonic sounds. So the violin that I'm playing at the moment is playing with classical technique and the classical roots. Now, for future, we do look into, we are looking into experimenting with, you know, maybe playing with more effects and sounds with the violin, but at the moment, it is really exciting to be composing with such an awesome producer. This really new sound that has such strong elements of all these different genres that are us and that do represent both of our unique backgrounds and differences into this one project. So I'm really excited to see where this is going and how it's been going and flowing, because I really feel like it is an evolution of old school and new school combined with classical and new electronic evolutionary compositions.
Can you tell me about your creative process? You're both very talented musicians. Does one of you take the lead and the other finishes the idea? Or is it a very collaborative process at every step?
Well, when I first came in with the audition 6 months ago, Liam had already a vast array of compositions that he's been working on and putting much time in for countless years. And so when we came into this, we co-wrote, and he had some violin parts in mind so I could have the sound and hear the sound that he was trying to create with this project. And since then, we've kind of been bouncing around and co-writing some of the violin parts. In the future, we look forward to definitely co-writing and co-creating all the future of Evolve.
Okay, now, you already mentioned this was the first project that you were playing sort of an electric violin. When you go into the studio or play live, how are you adapting your style and even your gear for the electronic dance environment?
I personally love the energy and the vibes from the dance floor. And, you know, in my classical training, it's more people, it's more of a performance, people sitting down and watching the performance instead of being interactive and being part of it, and I love it. And I'm still pulling sounds from scores of notes. I'm reading music up on stage, which I think is very key. And the whole transferring from the acoustic world into the electric world was really exciting for me to finally be able to plug into the system and have my violin sound, you know, have a 5-mile radius on a Function 1 sound system as opposed to being in a quiet concert hall. So it's been really, really exciting to work with electronic music and to adapt that way. But like I said previously, I am still trying to have as much classical and acoustic technique to the new electronic scene to kind of incorporate this new evolution of violin.
Okay, that's great. Now, Liam, when you were conceiving of this project, what artists were you maybe turning to that really had an impact on your vision? Maybe that you were saying, oh, I'd like to emulate this sound that this particular artist or artists are doing. Is there anything that really jumps out at you?
Well, it's a good question, and it's one that I approach carefully because, you know, I wouldn't really say that there's one particular artist that I'm, like, drawn to or look to as, oh, yes, I want to sound like this or I want to sound like that. I really want to sound like something unique and something that doesn't currently exist. That's very, very important. But at the same time, of course, I draw inspiration from other artists, from other music, and it's really from such a wide, wide array of sources. I mean, I draw actually quite a lot of inspiration from movie scores. I think actually some of the coolest music that's coming out right now is absolutely from movie scores because they're combining classical and electronic elements and doing it in very, very provoking and sort of very, very heavy, heavy stimulation, you know, very emotional, very powerful music. As well, I'm, of course, drawing inspiration from other different types of dance music. I would say, you know, early Infected Mushroom was a big influence. Classical Mushroom, when that first came out, was a very, very inspirational album for me, and I listened to it over and over again. And so that was maybe in the back of my mind as sort of like, you know, combining classical music with psychedelic trance to create something sort of new. But I think, you know, Infected Mushroom definitely didn't go in that direction. They took it in much more of a rock direction versus a classical direction. So, I mean, really my list of influences is about as deep as the ocean. But I found it's very, very important to always keep an open mind and always look for inspiration in places where you wouldn't expect it to be, and that's often where you'll find some of the most beautiful music.
It seems like you've got your hand in a bunch of projects in addition to Dissolve and, of course, your DJing. You're very active in the Bay Area music scene, but I've read you're also trying to encourage young DJs and electronic artists. Can you tell me about the Beat University project?
Yes, absolutely. So Beat University is a nonprofit scholarship. It's basically the first dedicated electronic music scholarship in the country. And it's for use at the Pyramine Institute for Digital Audio here in San Francisco, which is a very, very excellent school that focuses specifically on digital audio and electronic music. The way that this whole idea came about was basically, as a student at Pyramind, I became very familiar with their enrollment process, and one thing that they unfortunately were not able to offer was scholarships, because it's a private school, it's not accredited, and for, you know, reasons that they would like to stay true to their curriculum, they really can't be accredited. And I saw, you know, that they would have to turn away kids time and time again because they didn't have adequate funding to go to school. So I was at that time looking at starting a new event over at Supper Club, like a monthly or maybe every 2 monthly type of an event. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool to do this party and donate all the money that we raise at the door to create a scholarship for Pyramind? Awesome idea. So everybody got really excited about it. Pyramind helped get on board. They sponsored it, helped us cover some of the costs. And then as well, I have some friends over at Love Evolution, formerly Love Fest, who does the fantastic day party every year in October downtown, taking to the streets. They jumped on board as a sponsor and have made some donations as well. Basically, over the last 2 years, we've been able to work to raise money to build a scholarship to allow students to actually finally get some funding for this type of education. We're actually really, really excited because the scholarships just went live about 3.5 weeks ago. The applications are up on pyramind.com/scholarship, and we're going to be giving away $4,000 or $5,000 scholarships in about a month's time. So there's still time to apply, but not much. So get on that website if you're interested.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely great. Valentin, you may be able to speak to this. Do you feel like electronic music is not taken seriously by the musical elite or in the halls of academia?
I feel that it is slowly working its way into the academics. There are a few courses at local colleges that I've been looking into, and there are big courses being offered. But like I said, as a classically trained acoustic musician with compositional skills and performing skills, it's almost impossible to ignore the electronic music elements and styles because it is so key to the evolution of music and self-expression through music that it's just impossible to ignore in academics. And I think it's ridiculous that it is not being implemented scholastically as much as possible. And it is, we are so blessed to have people like Liam working towards things like scholarships for Pyramind and letting students have the privilege to pursue their dreams in electronic music because it is so prominent in musical culture in Western and all countries throughout the world at the moment.
All right. So guys, what is next for Dissolve? Any big shows or are there any recordings on the way?
Well, we just booked our first out-of-town show, which is pretty exciting. In August, we'll be flying out to Maine to perform at the Be Here Now Festival. We're also going to be performing that month in Los Angeles at the Black and White Festival. So that's quite exciting. We've played 4 shows so far. Pretty much all of them were festivals, which is great because that's kind of what we're all about. We really like playing outdoors, in nature, under the stars. It's really ties into the message and the idea of Dissolve. And sort of reconnecting with tribal roots and the tribal dance experience. And then we're going to also be actively working on the debut album. We have already about an hour and a half of music written, but we are just more than excited to just write as much as possible and really make the debut a massive splash. So we're going to be getting together and getting some space down in Santa Cruz where Valentin lives to work together much more frequently. And hopefully 2011, early, we'll be seeing the debut of the Dissolve album.
That's great. Liam Shy, Valentin Santana, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Dissolve's Liam Shy and Valentin Santana. More info at dissolveyourmind.com, and you can find out more about the Electronic Music Scholarship at beatuniversity.com. Next week on the program, San Francisco's Anasia will be on the UNS podcast, talking about her blend of glitch and grime, the Global Dance Festival at Red Rocks, and DJing the first late-night show at Forecastle Festival. On a boat! Catch you next week.